Welcome, everybody, to another edition of the Nerd Watch Podcast. I, of course, am G Money. It is September. Kids are back in school. It is a day after Labor Day, and things are going back to a fall schedule. Very excited myself. I am joined by Gannon. He's in the house, our rock star, our punk rock superstar, horror aficionado, and a man who is putting on a show here very shortly called Mizfest, if I'm not mistaken.
No, it's Mizfest. Oh. Like Misfits, but oh. Mizfest.
I always say Miz because I watch wrestling. Sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. I knew it was Mizfest.
There's something about fist.
Mizfest.
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 Yeah.
It's a new superhero.
Is it more formal?
I just made her up.
Okay.
Is it more formal?
Of course it is.
All right. Okay. Filling in for Alika tonight is the man who is
for Alika.
Is the man who we like to call Michael McDonald.
Baby Lucas
is in the house. Todd Bernardi, he is the man who is responsible for
comic books like
Kukui Project and Disco Thunder Groovebone and the like. It is Todd Bernardi. He's here sitting in for Alika. Alika wasn't feeling good, apparently. I don't know if it was...
sent him home.
Well, I don't know what it was. It could be something in his diet that doesn't agree with him, but he wasn't feeling good. Against his better judgment, he put Todd in charge of the comic book section of
he
the
had
show.
Scallops.
Apparently, I guarantee, probably.
And then, scallops.
And then, of course, last but not least on our show tonight is the man we like to call Format. He is our gaming guru. Coming
how's
up here tonight as well. Well, listen, gents.
The podcast Gaming
Scallops. Hey, Todd.
Sorry.
Standpoint.
Sorry.
All right.
Stay on target.
Stay on target. All right. So, stay on target. That's it. First off, I want to let you know this is going to be a hello, YouTube. Hello, Akaku. We're all here. Welcome, everybody. And coming up on this show, it is our summer movie wrap up. And possible fall movie preview. All depends on how much time we have. Our summer movie wrap-up here is coming up very shortly, so you want to stay tuned for that. Also, coming up, I'm going to give you a mini-review of the movie Morgan that I saw this weekend.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah. Cool. You got to see it?
Did you pay for it?
Hey, listen. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But before we get started, we do want to talk about our friends here at Maui Comics and Collectibles, the people that are putting on the first annual Maui Comic Con at the Lahaina Cannery Mall, November 5th and 6th. Special guests like Steve Lealoha is going to be there. Guests like Todd Bernardi is going to be there.
Wait, what?
Yeah, it's going to be an amazing event in Lahaina.
The guy in the parking lot picketing
November 5th and 6th. It is the Maui Comic Con, Maui's first annual Maui Comic Con, courtesy of Maui Comics and Collectibles. So, Todd, you have been you are taking the place of Alika, and Alika does the comic books. And not only that, he also does our special announcements.
Are we sure we want him to read off of this?
Can I be honest with you? I really, Todd, no offense,
why
but
not?
I don't want him to, but...
I could go to a lower octave. I mean, what do you want me to do?
Let's do this first, Todd.
Right.
Can we do the special announcement first before we do our comics?
Yeah.
When you talk about the mainland books, throw some stank on it.
Yeah. What is the special announcement that Alika wanted you to talk about?
September 11th, 2016. It's a Sunday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Uh-huh.
We have a wonderful comic book artist, Layla Lace. She's from Italy. She does a book with Paul Jenkins called Altars, and she does another book called Neverland.
Mm-hmm.
She'll be doing signings and commissions, and she's going to have advanced copies of her book.
Here in at Maui Comics and Collectibles?
Here at Maui Comics and Collectibles.
Fantastic.
333 Road. All
right. Should we, by the way, just because he is filling in for Alika, should we call him Alika as well or no?
No.
You could call me...
he's on camera. They know it's not Alika.
Oh, that's true. Good point.
I mean, I could do an Alika impression.
No, you can't. No, you can't. I would prefer.
I want to hear it.
I would prefer a Michael McDonald impression.
Do it.
All right, really quick.
Oh, well, you guys, I like superheroes.
I'm pretty sure I was right the first time.
Hey, have you guys ever watched Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles? That stuff is amazing.
Listen, it's not half bad. We'll run it by Alika once he hears the show.
It's not half good either. It's not,
It's half of something.
It's mostly bad.
Okay. Well, yeah. Listen, Alika or Todd, whatever your name is.
Yeah.
Well, so that is September 11th. Layla Lays will be here doing commissions and such at Maui Comics and at Maui Comics and Collectibles at 333 Dairy Road in Kahului. And here's something that's even more prudent. Today, as we do this podcast, we're getting ready, or tonight, we're getting ready for New Comic Book Wednesday tomorrow. That means there's going to be a plethora of new comic books making their way into the store on Wednesday. So New Comic Book Wednesday is coming up. What are we highlighting this week at Maui Comics and Collectibles?
Going in alphabetical order, we're going to do all new, all different Avengers number 14.
Hang on a second. Were you going to do it as Alika?
No, I was going to spare everybody.
Didn't you guys veto that?
Oh, we just did, didn't we? Shucks. Okay,
I mean, I was thinking.
So forgetful.
Yeah.
I know, it just happened 5 minutes ago.
All you guys have to do to get me to do Alika again is text 11132 and say, do Alika. Hard, and then we'll put it to a vote.
Okay.
Anything above 50% gets me to do Alika again. Go.
Okay, remember we're being recorded, and it's gonna be on television, so we have to be a little careful. All right, go ahead.
the other book that I want to point out here on the list is Aloha Hawaiian Dick number 5.
The guy keeps producing those fairly quickly, isn't that? Didn't we just have an announcement for that like just a couple weeks ago?
He's getting it's kind of a reorder replacement.
I think
it came out a couple of weeks ago, but they didn't actually get it.
I think he just wanted an excuse to say it again.
Oh, gotcha.
That's what's happening.
Why didn't I think of that?
Hey, you know, if Dick is on the list, then I gotta point it out to people.
All right, you've already done that. Now move on.
All right. Aquaman number 6, Batman number 6, Cyborg Rebirth number 1.
If you don't know, Todd is doing DC Comics first, I'm guessing.
He's going through the ones that are highlighted.
Oh, okay, cool,
Yeah, 'cause he started with Avengers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, try to pay attention.
I'm trying.
All new, all different Avengers number 14.
Ooh, stop it.
Yeah,
they're
pay
all
attention.
New, they're all different.
I'm trying to.
Daredevil.
So there's no one old?
No,
I'm pretty sure Spider-Man's in the team.
Well, you know,
it's the new Spider-Man, right? Yeah. Not the old Spider-Man.
It's
a different Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Marvel finally started paying attention to affirmative action. That's why they're all new.
Wow!
It took them a couple of years, but they did it.
All right.
Daredevil number 11. Deadpool Mercs for Money number 3.
Sweet.
Doctor Strange number 11.
Uh-huh.
Flintstones number 3. I know you guys are looking out for that one.
That's a highlight.
Yeah.
Says who?
Says Jim Lee. Great Divide.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Never heard of it.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Okay. What Great Divide is about, Gannon?
I don't know.
Dividing greatly.
You like the name?
It hasn't come out yet.
It's a math comic.
Yeah, but.
No.
What is it? Can you explain it in about 10 seconds or less?
Can you give us the Internet Movie Database version of it?
Sure. Keep reading.
Yeah. Okay. Next. Move on. Go ahead.
Harley Quinn number 3.
Okay.
Invincible Iron Man number 13. I know you guys love that Iron Man, that Tony Stark.
Oh yeah, man.
Justice League number 4. You know where they they do stuff.
Okay.
Yeah. Moon Knight number 6.
Justice League.
You know, they look.
I like Moon Knight. I like Moon Knight. Go ahead.
Yeah, Moon Knight. Like the new stuff for Moon Knight is pretty wicked.
Pretty
the
cool.
The artwork's great too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nightwing number 4.
Okay.
Which is different than the Grayson title that was coming out with Tom King.
Yeah.
Is it a different person?
I think it's
behind
a
the mask.
I think it's a no. I think it's still Dick Grayson, but I think that. He's finally like he. Everybody realizes that he's alive again.
Okay, so put a pause on that.
Gotcha.
Put a pause on that.
Great Divide.
According to Comic List, The Great Divide, humanity awakens in the near future to the horrifying reality that the faintest touch from another's skin results in agonizing death. And the survivors isolate themselves, many driven mad by fragments of memories absorbed from the dead. But when a pair of thieves stumble upon the means to save their species, they learn not everyone is eager to see the old world restored.
Ooh, The Great Divide.
I've always kind of felt like that. It touched me.
I know.
Wow. Yeah. All right, what else on that list?
That's how most people I've ever dated feel. Uh-huh. they want to die when I touch myself. Mm-hmm.
That's why I want to be Big Spoon. Paper Girls number 9 by Brian K. Vaughan. If you guys are into Stranger Things, Paper Girls is where it's at. That's you know, it's wonderful.
Stranger Things, the Netflix
television show. If you guys like that and you guys are itching for more Stranger Things,
yes.
Like season 2.
Itching for Stranger Things. There's the name of the pod.
Yeah. Then pick up Paper Girls. Mm. Yeah. I don't know if I did that.
If you're itching for Stranger Things, get some shots first.
No, you may want to rub cream on it.
Right?
It's itching from Stranger Things.
Yeah. From.
Oh, that's why it works. Yeah. That's why I keep getting into trouble.
Right. Rise of the Black Flame, number 1.
That's written by Mike Mignola.
Yeah. From Dark Horse. It's like the itch of Stranger Things, but it burns more.
You know, Todd really should read this list from now on. It's way more fun.
Sorry.
Don't apologize.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry for apologizing. I'm sorry. Skyborn number 1.
Cool. That's the one you want to pick up.
That's the one I'm desperate.
What's that? What's
on.
That one?
Yeah,
that's written and drawn by Frank Cho.
Okay, and yeah. Do we have a little snippet of the story?
I actually don't know much about the book, to be honest.
Nope.
I'm waiting to dive
into. I don't think
it.
They released a lot of details about it. They just said. I mean, I think that they've released some promotional artwork for it. And...
I have okay. No idea. Got it. Like I didn't know who Frank Cho was.
So. Skyborn.
He's not Jim Lee.
He's
okay.
He's pretty. He's pretty.
I assume his new title will have something to do with the sky.
he's pretty famous for drawing and redrawing female characters in various positions of undress.
He's the one that took heat for that Spider-Woman cover, which is hilarious because Spider-Man was drawn the exact same way.
Yeah.
Nobody had a problem with that.
Yeah,
and he didn't even.
Yeah, we have
a
thing on the wall.
Yeah. And he didn't even
with the same pose.
Yeah,
pretty much.
He didn't even draw the original Spider-Woman cover.
Yeah.
He just redrew it as, like, Spider-Gwen.
Right.
And then they're like, oh, well, Spider-Gwen's under 18, so this is crazy.
And never mind the fact she's not a real person.
Right, yeah. Right, exactly.
She's still in high school, according to the comic book.
All right, what else on that list, Todd?
She's, well, and technically she's a fictional character, so please don't write us any letters.
Or do.
Star Wars, Poe Dameron.
I read all our family.
Sure you do.
And you get a lengthy response.
Good.
Yeah. Star Wars, Poe Dameron, number 6. Supergirl, number 1. So if you guys love the television show, read that. Superman,
yeah, it's coming to the CW.
Yeah, exactly.
Arriving to the CW. So,
right, yes. Because we're not in Britain. Superman, number 6. Superman number 6. He's got 5 more issues than Supergirl.
Nice.
I think I did my math there correctly. You guys tell
hey,
me.
You're brilliant, Todd. Brilliant.
This is so much better than when Alika does it.
Don't say that too loud. He's in the other room.
I am aware he's in the other room.
He's gonna get mad at me again. Uncanny X-Men number 12. And Walking Dead 158, and that is your new comic book,
ladies and gentlemen. This Todd Bernardi,
Wednesday, September, 5th.
If you ever want to do a toll free number again,
you can
use that
one
for sure. Well, listen, thanks, Todd, for filling in for.
It just says I am Groot.
Thanks, Todd, for filling in for Alika. You can get all those comics right here every Wednesday. New Comic Book Wednesday.
Yeah.
Maui Comics and Collectibles. And come see Todd. He'll be more than happy to instruct you on what you should purchase.
Come see Todd. He doesn't live here.
Not from what...
Sometimes it
not
it
what
like
Alika has told me.
Come see me. I love you all.
Yeah.
Just,
fantastic.
I need visitors.
Thanks, Todd. Well, listen, it's our summer movie wrap-up. Right before we get to that, I do want to tell you guys that I watched a movie this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched a film called Morgan. directed by Luke Scott. Cool. The man who is the son of...
He was a Jedi. He's the son of Anakin Scott.
He is... No, he's not. He is the son of Ridley Scott, the man who is the... Oh. He is the director of Alien and...
Prometheus.
And Prometheus and legend. Blade Runner. He is a legend.
Oh, his, no, no, no. He directed the movie Legend.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you said a legend. Sorry.
No, no, no.
He did direct the movie Legend.
Yes, he did.
Of course, Luke Scott is also the nephew of the now deceased Tony Scott.
Well, he's actually been dead a while now.
Yeah,
now.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
The now deceased.
The now deceased, now. Like yes. Just last week.
Yeah, yeah. And Luke Scott has decided to put forth a new vision of sci-fi onto the big screen with Morgan. Can
don't,
I?
Don't let her out.
I did write a review for it. It's on. You can check it out right now on our Nerdwatch Facebook page. It's up on MauiWatch.com as well. Facebook.com/Nerdwatch is where you can check it out, as well as MauiWatch.com. And let me tell you guys something.
Can we guess the star rating first?
You don't want me to give you my kind of take on it first before
no.
you guess?
No, okay. You gave it a 1.
I think you gave it a 2.
Okay, format. What do you think?
I think you really, really liked it. You really, like, it spoke to you.
Did it speak to me?
At a
visceral level?
Yeah. We'll go with that.
Well,
visceral sounds good. I'm thinking that you kind of went with a 4,
mm-hmm.
but you kind of dialed it back because you didn't want to seem like you liked it too much.
Yeah,
right.
So you kind of came back maybe half a star.
Yeah, that is
easy. So I'm saying, like, maybe about 3.5. But you weren't too happy with the popcorn that showing, so you dialed it back 1 more star.
All right.
Because that affected your overall judgment.
Got it.
So wait. So, like, did he wait to give it a rating so that it would call him again? Like, call him later? Like,
I think that was...
Here's what it was. It is a decent story. Very good ideas in the film, Morgan. Some of them not executed well. The biggest problem with Morgan is it's predictable. I figured out what was going on about halfway through the flick. And
is there an overlying mystery to the story?
Yes.
It seemed pretty cut and dry.
It did, but it isn't.
So you figured out the twist at the end.
You figure out the twist like halfway through the
movie. So Bruce Willis is dead the whole movie.
The whole movie. Okay? And unfortunately, because they repeated the cycle of Bruce Willis being dead... Because it happened in the Sixth Sense.
Well, that's
Sense.
Why you knew what was going on.
Right, exactly.
Bruce Willis was in it.
Exactly. So here's what happened. Morgan,
no, he's not.
I gave Morgan a 2-star rating. It was okay.
Woo!
2 stars is what I gave him.
I was getting there.
What
didn't let me finish. I was getting there.
What do I win?
Nothing right now.
Okay.
You get a free ticket to Morgan.
That's right.
That's the worst podcast ever.
That's right.
I give Morgan...
Four.
He's one of my favorite actors.
Well, Morgan is the first.
Every time he speaks, you know, a new son comes
true.
Into existence.
It's true. Morgan is the first movie, or
yeah,
one of the first
he's
movies.
The best one to drive Misty.
Of the, I guess you could say, the beginning of the fall season, because summer's now officially over. So it's time for us gents to talk about our summer movie wrap up of 2016.
Yeah.
For me, I thought that the summer of 2016 was lackluster at best.
Right.
A couple of big hits, but overall not.
I
very,
get that complaint a lot.
Not very exciting. So let's start with Gannon first.
No,
Gannon, don't start with you?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Start with me because my list is going to be disappointing.
All right. Well, let me start with format then.
Start with format.
Oh, really?
Format. Yeah. Was there anything for your summer movie wrap up that you thought was fantastic, exciting? Anything good that you wanted to that you liked?
For me, there were 3 movies that stood out.
Okay.
Warcraft, of course, being one of them. Suicide Squad, of course, and Ghostbusters.
So those were your top 3.
Yeah.
Did you have one that you didn't think was did you have one this year that you didn't think lived up to anything that you liked? Was there one that you didn't like this summer?
No, not necessarily, because everything that we did go to see,
mm-hmm. all the premieres we did,
like they were enjoyable to a certain extent.
Right.
So like there was nothing that I went in there and then left the theater just. Hating life.
Were those 3 in any particular order?
They weren't, but now that I look at it, yeah, I guess.
They are. So
yeah.
Warcraft would be your number 1 movie of the summer for you.
Yeah, I would say so.
Interesting. I'm surprised that Civil War is not on there. Interesting. Okay.
I didn't really like Civil War.
Wow.
The only good thing for Civil War was the airplane
Interesting. Okay. All right.
For me.
Okay.
I mean, a lot of people dug the rest of the movie, but
for sure,
for me, that fight at the airport was the biggest.
The biggest thing. Okay. Yeah. Gotcha. Todd Bernardi, sir, you do you have any favorites for this summer movie wrap up?
Yeah. My number one, I think, that I like the best as far as just the tentpole flick is Star Trek Beyond. Like, I think that like, really, it was a pretty good, I mean, as far as, I think it was a crowd pleaser. Mm-hmm. I don't think that it was great, but mm-hmm. I don't think that, I couldn't find, like, a lot of faults with it.
Sure.
Like, nothing took me out of the movie, mm-hmm. you know? And then, the thing that I liked, my number three movie.
Sure.
I'm going to skip two for right now because I can't remember it.
We can help.
I wrote it down on the pizza box.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I'm glad I'm sitting over here.
Yeah. the number three one was The Secret Life of Pets.
Now, I didn't get a chance to see that. I thought that was going to be, of course, geared more towards the kids. I didn't know if that was going to be my cup of tea. You really liked it.
It was a lot better than the other movies that I saw this summer.
There was no social propaganda in it.
Really?
Unlike Zootopia.
None of that racial, that racist stuff in Zootopia.
Nothing about the cultural divide among
yeah.
people.
Yeah, right.
It wasn't trying to...
The great divide.
Yeah.
Callback.
All right, so what? The second movie on your list, what? Who was... Do you remember who was in it? Do you remember what the story was?
So it's on the pizza box.
Yeah, I know, but can you give us a little something?
Who's in it?
I don't remember.
Okay,
he doesn't remember.
What's it about? You must not be that good because you don't remember it.
What does it say over there?
Can we?
Huh? Oh
what?
Yeah, no, it was number two was Nice Guys.
Nice Guys,
oh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean the movie that you went to go watch other than doing the Warcraft premiere? I remember yeah. that.
No, I did the Warcraft premiere. I was there for the Warcraft premiere, but then
he bailed.
And then I was like, oh, I got another movie to watch.
Oh, got it.
So great. I missed part
I got
of,
something I'd rather see.
I got, but Nice Guys, I think that like the writing was awesome. The story was awesome, and the performances were great.
Well,
I think that like people are going to look back on Nice Guys and really like think that they missed out on a really great kind of funky 70s mystery.
You can thank the talented Shane Black for that movie,
right? Yeah,
and he of course is the man responsible for writing
Iron Man
and
3.
Directing Iron Man 3,
Last
and,
Boy Scout,
and one of my favorite movies, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang. With Robert Downey Jr. and Val Kilmer.
I mean, it's got everything. I mean, you don't even have to the title. I'm there with Kiss Kiss, but I stay for the Bang Bang.
Thanks, Todd. Todd, is there any movie that disappointed you this summer?
Oh, man. I don't want to talk about it.
No, come on. Come on, man. Come on. It's a summer movie wrap-up. No judgments.
No judgments?
No judgments.
But judge the movie you don't like.
I mean, I saw some movies that... I thought we're going to be better. I think Civil War was adequate. I don't think that it was. It wouldn't make my top three worst movies.
Okay.
I also just kind of felt like it was another Marvel movie where the sort of the villain didn't matter and nothing really changed. Like
interesting.
The characters. Did a lot of stuff, but at the end, like, they were largely the same as the beginning, and I think a lot of people kind of feel that way about it. Even though it was a, you know, wonderfully put together movie, it was a wonderful ensemble cast, and some people would say that it could be superior to some of the movies.
Well, Stark took on the role of the villain, so I don't know if he was underwhelming.
Huh. Well, you know, there was a villain and there was another villain.
Sure.
And, you know, it's kind of, you know, Baron Zemo is there mm-hmm. and you don't know which one's which. And then the Winter Soldier is, you know, he was the villain in the previous movie and now he's not the villain. I don't want to say it was bad, but it just felt like, you know, it was just there as a placeholder to get
sure.
us through to the... the Avengers.
Not surprising.
The
I mean, Marvel's done that in several other movies, I think.
Yeah.
So for you, would that be the worst movie of the summer for you?
No. I kind of want to go with Alika and go with maybe Zootopia might have been
the worst movie.
Yeah,
you know, I don't know if that qualifies for summer because I thought that came out in the spring. But for you, I'll take it.
Well, it was like April.
Was it April?
I think it came. Season doesn't kick in until May, though.
That's what I'm saying.
But it was after Civil War, or it was after BVS.
Yeah, BVS is in March.
But BVS is in March, pal.
Yeah, but I mean, BVS is a summer movie.
All right, no. Well, BVS was not a summer. It was a springtime movie.
If it came out in the summer, it would be considered a summer temple film. Yeah, it came out in the spring.
Yeah. Okay, well, and then Zootopia and a little bit of maybe, I mean, I was underwhelmed by the Ghostbusters movie, too.
Okay, fair.
I liked it a lot better than a lot of people say that they did.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely not maybe the worst movie of all time, but I think that a lot of the jokes were easy.
Sure.
And I think that it was really kind of relying on the fact that people were really familiar with the source material, really familiar with the original two movies, and they were really kind of pulling on the nostalgia of
their banking
audience.
On the Ghostbusters name.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Well,
and so I think that like they could have done a little bit better job of if it was going to be a new thing,
sure.
The way that they were kind of making it,
yeah,
it could have established itself a little bit better
for sure.
Instead of relying on that like foundation, it felt like it almost didn't have any foundation.
Interesting. All right. Well, Todd, I'll take that as your worst movie, and I'll talk to you about Zootopia too, which would be interesting. I'll talk about to you later about that.
Because Lord knows we haven't talked about that movie enough.
Zootopia. I'm very interested because he never railed against Zootopia when we talked about it. I don't remember that. I don't think he saw it. That's why when we had talked about it.
Well, I saw it with the family, and I think that I saw it right after that podcast.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and so I kind of went in there thinking, oh, this is kind of interesting that they're segregated the way that Alika was saying.
Right.
And then I also went in there hearing Barry's side of the argument, too, about how they were segregated at the beginning of the movie, but it was really there was a lot of equality that happened in the end. But really, the Shakira musical number at the end just like that ruined it for
beyond the pale, as they say.
Right?
Yeah,
right.
That was
man.
Jeez,
those tigers.
Yeah, right.
I don't know how they made them look so flamboyant, but somehow animated.
Yeah,
they really look like.
It's definitely Shakira's fault. There's no doubt about that.
All of the tigers are Brazilian and famous.
Wow,
or Colombian. I guess Shakira's Colombian.
Yeah, she is.
Colombia.
All right, Gannon.
Colombia.
Summer 2016, sir. What movie stood out to you, and what was your worst movie of the summer?
It's going to be kind of predictable because you always look at me and you call me the horror aficionado.
You are?
Which I loathe that title.
Do you really?
Because I loathe most titles.
I like horror aficionado because you are a very, when I talk to you about horror movies, you're a very smart guy.
Oh, shut your lips.
So
anyway,
you just like went fishing for scary stuff.
and then paid for it.
Yeah. But it actually was strangely enough a strong summer for horror films.
Yeah, it was.
Yes, it was.
I was actually just reading an article about how they're out of all the summer films, they were actually considered the most profitable.
Yep, they
granted,
were.
They didn't do hundreds
only
of millions.
A couple of them, though.
No, well, but you see, they're made.
Conjuring 2 came out, Lights Out.
They're
came
made
out,
on the cheap.
Don't Breathe came out towards the end of August, and they were all considered far more profitable than any of the other films that the studios have made. They didn't make hundreds of millions of dollars, but they cost so little to make that the profit made.
So which of those have you seen?
Wait. So, but what about, wasn't there one, like an Annie one or something? Like there
what?
Was
Annabelle?
Annabelle, yeah.
Yeah, that was like three years ago.
Year.
Or was it
last year or 2 years ago?
2 years ago.
But Conjuring 2 came out.
Yes.
I finally got to see that, even though I didn't.
And what'd you think?
I enjoyed it. I didn't enjoy it as much as the first one, but I would still put it in my top three for the summer.
Right.
Just by the sheer fact that it actually came out during the summer.
I think that they
had a lot of confidence in that movie.
They did.
So, but when I saw it, it was a very well-made movie.
It was.
The film, the first one, like I said, still stands a little bit head and shoulders above the second one. But just in terms of like telling a great story that balanced the characters and it was a good movie.
I really thought the demon was frightening in Conjuring 2. I really liked
it.
Yeah.
Like, I still enjoyed Conjuring 2. And Lights Out was sort of...
You watched Lights Out?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see it.
We talked about it. Like,
We never. No, I mean, we didn't really get a chance to talk about it. What do you think?
I really enjoy Lights Out. There's a certain degree where it's kind of a throwback to like the old '90s kind of horror films, mm-hmm. but it balances itself on the conceit of like whenever the lights go out, you see it, and you feel like after you've seen the short to it, which I actually saw after I saw the movie, that you think you're only going to be able to get so much mileage out of that gimmick,
right.
but.
Right.
That he uses a lot of creative ways to keep the character in there.
And this is Felipe Alvarez, right? This is his.
No, you're thinking about Fetty Alvarez.
Fetty Alvarez. And that's Don't Breathe.
That's Don't Breathe.
Oh, that's right.
I can't remember the name of the director that did
Lights Out
off the top of my
head. Oh, Sandberg.
Sandberg.
That's it.
But but yeah, Lights Out and Conjuring 2 definitely stood out amongst all the other summer films. Because for the most part, the rest of the summer films, I mean, Star Trek, like Todd was talking about, I think it was the most summer movie out of all the summer movies.
Which one?
Star Trek Beyond. Because
that's fair to say.
It's strictly a fun summer film that
yep.
almost anybody could go see.
Absolutely.
Like, and everybody enjoyed too.
Yeah, everybody enjoyed it. Nobody rallied against Star Trek Beyond. Yeah.
And if you notice,
and the most critically negative review I ever saw of Star Trek Beyond mm-hmm. was pretty minor.
Yeah, and
very minor.
And if you notice, we always talk about this controversy with Rotten Tomatoes. Rotten Tomatoes, the critics and the audiences were at 83% across the board. It was very interesting.
Yeah,
and I mean, and Conjuring 2 and Don't Breathe and a lot of the horror movies that came out this summer.
Don't Breathe. Sorry. For some reason, I couldn't remember the name of the movie.
Don't Breathe.
Like,
is
Blindy, right?
Don't Breathe is still at the top of the box office right now.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with what I was thinking.
But there's some
don't
of the best
blink. That's what I was like, what was it called?
Don't
Blindy?
Blink.
Blind something.
Oh, because of the Doctor Who thing?
No,
don't blink.
The guy's blind.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it was called. Yeah. I was trying to piece it together in my head.
So did you watch? Did any of you guys watch Don't Breathe?
I didn't see him, but I've been thinking that like
I've seen the commercials so many times.
I feel like I'm in the wrong genre, like going and seeing some of these like comic book movies when the horror movies have been so well reviewed.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah,
like everybody
the quality stuff.
It's like before, like it was just like slasher type stuff, and then
it tends to happen. And if you look at all the times where the horror films rise up in quality, it tends to be when there's a gigantic influx of anything in Hollywood.
Yep,
yeah.
It's true.
Whenever there's an influx for a certain type of genre, that's when the horror movies rise up because the studios aren't really paying attention to those movies anymore.
Yeah, no, you're right. Yeah.
They're like, all right, well, those movies, we'll just throw some money at those movies and just put some director on it, blah, 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 blah. And that's when the director has the freedom to do something great.
Right.
You know, you wouldn't have gotten Scream if nobody was paying attention to horror films
right.
at the time. And that's when the Scream happened.
Yeah.
But, of course, after there's a huge influx of horror movies trying to capitalize on Scream, that's when they started tanking.
Right.
Because there's far more attention going on.
What do you think about Drag Me to Hell?
I enjoyed the hell out of that movie.
Yeah. I mean,
that was a great Evil Dead 4 movie that's not Evil Dead 4.
Yeah.
Because
right.
it had that tone.
It did.
And I thought that, like, it had, I mean, some of them have got some mystery thriller kind of suspenseful elements. That felt like almost like a... Like it dragged me to that. Well, it kind of felt like kind of a Spider-Man movie a little bit. Like it had some elements where it was lighter in tone
mm-hmm.
than I was expecting.
Well, that's
only
Sam Raimi.
Only Sam Raimi yeah. can make a handkerchief scary.
Yeah.
Only Sam Raimi could do that.
Yeah, no, you're right.
He could scare you with it and then make you laugh at yourself for being scared of a handkerchief.
Yeah, no.
He's the only director that can get away with that.
Yeah, he's really good at
that. No one else could figure out a way to make that work.
Now, you said you put Lights Out at the top of your list, or one at the top of your list. What else is on that list for summer?
For the three, I would have to throw a comic book film in there, and as much as it pains me, I'd have to throw Civil War in there ahead of Suicide Squad.
Interesting.
Just because it's honestly a better balanced movie than Suicide Squad is. Mm-hmm. I think Suicide Squad is more fun
sure.
than Civil War is. But it's a more balanced story, and it gets across what it's trying to get across. Yes, it does have all the same problems that I always say Marvel movies have, the weak villain, and so on and so
sure,
forth.
Sure, sure.
And there is, like he was talking about, that reduced to zero style storytelling that I absolutely hate, where there's no consequence to what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a lot of great character moments and a lot of great character work with everybody in there, and the ensemble cast is fantastic, and it introduces quite a few characters, and it doesn't ever feel like any of the new elements that they're bringing in there are overbearing. I still don't feel like it should be called Captain America Civil War. Because in a movie that uses his namesake, he is not... He's hardly even the central character in a movie that's named after him. It should have just flat out been called Marvel Civil War.
Okay.
I've been saying that since before the movie came out, and I'll keep saying it.
I think that they should give, like, Captain America something else to do, too. Like, I mean, I think that, like, he should be in another movie.
Mm-hmm.
He will be.
Well, he's going to be in Avengers for sure.
Absolutely.
But I think that, like, they should give him another Captain America movie.
I'm sure he will. He will.
Maybe even before, because this is kind of like Iron Man 4. Like, a lot of the character work that was really good about Civil War was Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, his character actually goes through the most changes.
Yeah.
Then, because Steve Rogers follows the same arc throughout the whole story that he starts off from the very, you know, from beginning to end in any story he does. But Tony Stark actually is the one that goes on an emotional journey.
Mm-hmm.
He starts off one way, ends up a different way. Right. So that really should have been Iron Man 4, if we're going to get into that.
If you think about it, you're right.
But
yeah.
Again,
we're nitpicking at this point.
To keep it balanced and to not shift the attention on either one, it should have just been called Marvel Civil War.
It would have been interesting if they had actually...
I guess it's topical because it comes out next week on Blu-ray. Yeah. So.
We'll it would have been interesting if they had, like, maybe even assassinated one of the characters at the end. Like,
well, they're saying, again, this is ringing the Civil War bell a little bit too much, but Kevin Feige was saying that Captain America is no longer Captain America going forward.
Right, that's what he said.
Steve Rogers is not Captain America. Like, the next time you see Captain America, might not even be Steve Rogers.
Right, that's what he was saying.
When he throws down the shield, it's not an empty moment for that film. It's he is not Captain America going forward.
That makes it all the more powerful, though. That's cool.
Yeah, so
I like that.
By the time we get into the first Avengers film, sure. It might be someone else being Captain America.
All right, so then what is
or
that?
There is nobody leaving.
There is no, right, exactly. All right, so what else? What's last on that three movie list?
That was it.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, Lights Out.
I actually named four, but yeah. I threw Civil War.
And then what was the worst one?
The worst one?
Civil War. That's why you named it first.
I hate to throw Ghostbusters under the bus, but I really wanted to love it more.
Okay.
Done. Yeah. I really wanted to love it more. And because I have such a love affair with that franchise. Like, there was a time where, as a kid, I loved Ghostbusters even more than I loved Star Wars. So the kid in me that loved Ghostbusters wanted that movie to be great, and it just wasn't. For me, it's a lost potential thing more than anything else.
Gotcha.
There's nothing technically wrong with the movie in and of itself.
Sure.
But what I would have liked to have seen a new Ghostbusters movie be, it didn't even come close.
Wow. Well, as you all know, gents, if I may put on my hat, being a movie critic.
That's me throwing up.
I get to see a lot more movies than I normally would, like you guys. So I watched a lot of summer movies this year, this summer season. And
this fingernail polish over here.
Yeah, it's hard for me to pick as far as my top three, so I'm going to start at the bottom of my summer movie list, the wrap-up here. I got three movies on the list for myself that I thought were total disappointments.
Am I reading this right? Is one of them Sausage Party?
Number one for summer movie season, Sausage Party is one of the worst movies of the year, without a doubt. I thought it was horrible.
Hey, the year's not over yet.
But it's talking food.
Yeah, I hated it. Number two on my worst summer movie of 2016 would have to go to Independence Day Resurgence. I was really disappointed in that movie, and I really wanted to like it more.
You had hopes for that movie?
I did. I had a lot of hope.
Independence Day Resurgence?
Let me tell you why. Because the year the original came out, it was nothing that I've seen like that. And the characters and the way the characters were drawn and things like that, how they acted was something that was very reminiscent of the movies that I used to watch when I was a kid that I grew up with, like, you know, those old 1950s movies.
I would say old 1970s disaster
films.
Yeah,
stuff like that, those disaster movies.
I don't know,
and
Jurassic Park.
Well, that came out in the year before that.
Independence Day did have a larger ensemble cast.
Yeah, it did.
Jurassic Park had like a handful of characters.
Yeah,
but it was still like a disaster flick, and it still had like those larger than life kind of creatures.
Sure.
It
was, yeah, but 20 years later, Jurassic World was a great movie. Independence Day Resurgence was not.
I will tell you this: is that for as much as I dislike Jurassic World, if I had to compare the two, I'd watch Jurassic World again than I'd watch Independence Day. No doubt about it. I did get to see late in the summer. I got to watch Popstar and Central Intelligence. Those were so bad that they didn't even get on my list. I was really disappointed in those movies.
Did you throw out your worst?
No, and then no, those were my own two. And then my number one worst movie of the year, of course, goes to, just like the rest of you guys, is Ghostbusters. You know what's interesting?
Here we go.
And here's the thing. No. No. Here's the thing. I never get personally offended by movies, ever. Like, it's never a thing for me. But I
until
really...
Until now.
It never really... It really felt like I really took it personal at how bad Ghostbusters was. I don't know if it's because I have such a connection to the original Ghostbusters, but I never felt like that about the original Batman or any other movies. But Ghostbusters, for some reason this year, I really took it personal, and I really thought it was. And to this day, I still think it's a terrible movie. Matter of fact, it's going to be coming to Blu-ray here in the next month or so.
Yeah,
they're adding 15 minutes of extra footage. I will be fair, and I will watch it again, and I will watch it with the extra 15 minutes of movie footage.
I think you're
going
to see that across the board a lot with films these days.
In the Steelbook.
You're going to see one film come out in the theaters and a whole other film come out on Blu-ray. I got a sneaking suspicion that's the way it's going to be going from now on.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is that it's called, apparently, on the Ghostbusters title, they changed it for home video apparently. Now it's going to be called Ghostbusters Answer the Call.
They did not change it as it was called at the end of the
movie. And that's exactly what I thought, too. But apparently, from what I was reading, they said it was called Ghostbusters, and they just put that on the underneath, like a tagline, not so much a subtitle, but a tagline, which is I didn't understand that. I don't know what difference it's going to make. But anyway, it's coming out. I'm going to watch it again.
I know when they were first making the movie,
that's
what it was called, and that was their way of
differentiating
from
it,
the original. A couple of films.
Right.
Why they didn't keep it there when they went to the theater, I'm not sure. But it just looks like they're revisiting the original title they had.
Didn't they? Yeah. When we first saw it, they had like the original, they had the title, and then they had the Ghostbusters title afterwards.
Right.
And I that was a little confusing for me, too.
And apparently that's how it was all the way through creation. Because the really lame song from Fall Out Boy, that's the tagline to the song.
Right.
It's called Answer the Call or something like that.
Right. Something like that. Yeah. It's weird. Anyway, but that comes out soon. And I was, like I said, I'm really not a fan, but I will give it one more shot at home and get and take a look at it. Now my top three movies of the summer of 2016.
Number three is Ghostbusters.
In that spot, like the rest of you guys, I thought Star Trek Beyond. For as much as it's my third favorite in the new series, I still had a good time with Star Trek Beyond. I thought it was
third
it was a
favorite
lot of fun.
In the new. Okay, so if it's third favorite in the new series, where does it rank amongst the three?
The third. It's the last.
Okay, so what's the first?
Into Darkness.
So Into Darkness is your number one favorite?
Yep.
Oh, that's horrible.
You know why? I'm going to tell you why. I love the role reversal at the climax of the film.
By the way, it's
Ryber Batch.
I
love the role reversal in Into Darkness. That's my favorite thing about it. When it's Kirk that has to save the ship and Spock has to take out Khan, I lost it. I thought that was – anyway, don't want to get into that.
But
it
made more sense.
It did. I loved it. In that moment, Captain Kirk finally knew what it took to be captain. And in that moment, Spock knew what
it
was like.
But it didn't mean anything because he didn't actually die.
No, but it's all about what Spock realizing what was more important is that he was a human. And I really thought that was so, so well done in that movie. And J.J. Abrams deserves more credit than he gets for Into Darkness. I thought it was an incredible movie. But anyway, yeah.
Even though Khan's not Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
Wait, he wasn't?
It's the Kelvin timeline. All the villains are white. I mean, wait a minute.
Okay, but Khan should have been frozen long before that part started, so he should still be Ricardo Montalban.
It's
technically speaking.
I agree with you. No.
I still think it should have been Joaquin. It shouldn't have been Khan.
Yeah, I think that would have been a very cool story if it was Joaquin. I agree with
you.
They
should have had like a CGI Ricardo Montalban, like frozen in a
frozen.
Tube.
Frozen, yeah.
And then
no.
Joaquin was the one that was masterminding, trying to get them.
His second in command from the original Star Trek.
I think that would have been awesome.
Yeah, yeah. That would have been cool.
They're all British. They're not. They're not all. They're not. They can't. You can't say they're all white, but that you can say that they're a lot
Anglo.
Of them are British.
Yeah. Anglo-Saxon. Would that be fair?
Ricardo Montalban. That sounds white.
He's from the Clan Montalban? Yeah, I got you. That makes sense.
No, but I'm just saying from the Kelvin timeline, because you had two of the in the last two movies that were British.
Right.
Because Idris Elba played.
You're making perfect sense, Todd. Right. You are.
You know, if you're a British actor.
Am I crazy?
And Peter Weller's.
Don't you hate being in American films, though? If you're a British actor? Weller's.
Yeah.
You always end up playing the bad guys.
Peter Weller was
even worse if it's a Bond film. Yeah.
That's true. Well, tell that to Lincoln Child, the guy who was the head of Walking Dead on television. You know what I mean? You know, he's Frank the big guy.
But like, that's the other thing. Like, a lot of the cast in Walking Dead are all British, too.
I know.
The woman that plays Maggie, she's British.
She's Australian.
Oh, well, same thing.
Okay, nice. All right, gotcha.
What's the difference?
What's the difference?
They both talk funny.
Well, let me tell you something. What else is on my list for the number two movie on my list?
Yes,
number two on my list of movies for this summer, and it's kind of a sleeper hit. And the only reason why it's on this list is because I didn't have a chance to see Don't Breathe yet. But I thought that The Shallows was super fun.
That's one of the other ones I forgot to bring up as far as horror films.
I thought The Shallows was really fun.
Constantly,
really,
non-stop. Like, he would not shut up.
Yeah,
about
it was really well done. Do you know why though? Why?
It's such a simple premise. You would not expect much out of that movie. No. That's why all you can do with a premise like that is to raise the bar.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're right, yeah.
That's why people are so impressed by that movie. It's such a simple premise to get an entire movie out of it.
I completely agree with you. And last but not least, and I think that it may be – and after watching – because I've watched it twice now for the second time, and I think it's – I was
– Oh, Christ. Spit it out.
Civil War. Civil War. Civil War was just so much fun to watch. It was so involving.
I feel like you're doing this to make me quit the show.
The story. Listen, I'm glad you're picking up what I'm putting down. I'm finally glad you're picking up what I'm putting down. That's what I'm trying to say. But I really enjoyed Civil War. I thought that the chemistry between Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans is really good. I thought the chemistry with those two have to hold the movie together, and I think they did the commendable job for it. I think the Russo brothers have so much to deal with on screen with all of these characters that they did an amazing job. I mean, Spider-Man showing up in that movie was phenomenal. We don't need to have an origin story now the next time he shows up.
I don't know yet.
We got to find out for Homecoming.
Watch, mark my words, there's going to be like a credit sequence to the Spider-Man Homecoming that's just going to show us really quickly him getting stung and figuring out how to do his stuff.
Uncle Ben dying.
I'm sure.
Because you know what? That's how I felt about BVS.
I
feel like BVS, they don't need to show us the origin, but that's what they did.
You're right. But yeah, I really enjoyed Civil War, and I thought that overall the story, for as convoluted as it could have been, it was a focus. Baron Zemo was the weakest link in that movie, no doubt about it. But
yes and no.
I have to say that something that is not in the Civil War comic book that I have to commend them for is what brings Tony Stark and Captain America closer together at the very end when they find out what the Winter Soldier
that they
had
have the same that their mom has the same name,
Martha.
Yeah,
go figure.
And then they decide that they both don't like girls anymore.
Wow! What the heck, man?
I'm not sure we saw the same movie.
I don't think we did either.
That's what I got from that.
You know what's weird? That is my top three, by the way. What's weird is that none of us even talked about X-Men Apocalypse. So I guess that really didn't resonate.
No, you know, I liked X-Men Apocalypse. I really did.
And we didn't bring up we brought up Suicide Squad, but it wasn't the worst movie we saw, it wasn't the best movie we saw. And I think that X-Men Apocalypse is kind of like right there with Suicide Squad.
Well, I have to tell you, what I understand is that because Alika is not here, he wanted me to tell you guys his favorite movie this summer was X-Men Apocalypse.
Well, of course it was.
Bullshit! No way! I'll stand up for the guy and say no.
No, that guy loves Sausage Party all the way.
But you see Wolverine in the Weapon X gear. That's like good enough.
Well, listen, gents, I thought we'd have enough time to talk about the fall movie preview, but we don't. It's almost time for us to get out of here.
There's nothing good coming out the rest of the year.
Yeah, there isn't. We got some stuff coming out.
No, Doctor Strange.
There's a Star Wars movie coming out, but who's excited about that?
Well, next week we're going to talk about our fall TV preview. We'll talk about what we're excited for coming on.
This year?
Yeah, this year. So we'll be talking about our fall TV preview next week on the show. Todd, thanks for filling in, by the way. Appreciate it.
I do what I can.
Yeah, you did a great job. It's gonna be fun next week for sure. I want to send a big shout out to, of course, Maui Comics and Collectibles. They are an amazing. Amazing shop. They're putting on the first annual Maui Comic Con. You can check them out on Facebook as well for more details. You can check out our Facebook page at facebook.com/TheNerdWatch.
Layla Lays.
So, oh yes, Layla Lays is coming here to the
Sunday.
Shop.
September
11th, 2016. Here, signed comic books, do commissions. It's going to be very cool. Check it out, Maui Comics and Collectibles. And of course, you can check us out on Instagram at @the_NerdWatch, on Twitter at NerdWatchNation, and on YouTube at NerdWatchNation as well. You can check out Miss Fest coming up too as well.
October 22nd.
Still
Horse Saloon.
I think that
1, 2, 3, 4 Lower Main.
Wow, that's a very easy, easy
$5 cover if you dress up. It's free.
Ooh,
what
four
do you
bands.
Have to dress up as?
Anything Halloweenish.
Halloween-ish.
Mm-hmm. You get bonus points if you dress up as one of the Misfits members.
I was going to be a Transylvanian transvestite.
You can do that, too.
Yeah,
Glenn Danzig.
The same thing.
Right? Every time I think of...
I'm okay saying that because I've seen that guy in a fight, and I'm pretty sure I could take him.
I have heard, and what I've seen, the same videos, I heard Glenn Danzig is not very much of a fighter.
Well, yeah.
That's what I've heard.
You got taken out one punch.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
And all that tough guy swagger, and he's taken out one punch.
Every time I think of it, all I hear is, Mother! That's all I ever hear from Glenn Danzig when I think about the Misfits.
We had something going on.
That was a Danzig song. Though.
Yeah, it was. I know it was. So, Misfest coming up October 22nd.
Pretty sure Swan just said you're Lolo.
Oh, am I?
You said you're dumb.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I'm looking at it. I've got 2 minutes here. That's all I got. Todd Bernardi, anything you'd like to comment on before we get out of here?
Two minutes is all I need.
That's all I know you do. That's the name of the show right here.
Come down, visit Maui Comics and Collectibles at 333 Derry Road.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a wonderful selection of comic books.
Especially coming on Sunday to see Layla Leighton.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're going to have, and the convention's going to be great, too.
Fantastic. Thank you, TB.
I can't wait.
Todd Bernardi will be there.
Todd Bernardi.
Yeah, if you're lucky.
Yeah, by the way, if you are excited about...
When the check clears, Todd Bernardi will be there.
That's right. If you're excited about Maui Comic-Con, hashtag Maui Comic-Con on Twitter, on Facebook, Maui Comic-Con. Very cool. Anyway, Format, before we get out of here, anything else you'd like to add, sir?
No, not really. I mean, we're just trying to do what we can to get this con up and running.
Yep.
Support your local artists.
Yes.
Support your local creators. Support your local shops.
You guys can sponsor the Maui Comic Con, by
the
way.
Spend all the monies.
Yes, and sponsor the Maui Comic Con as well. Just call. You can call here at the shop. You can check them out on Facebook. Facebook.com is where you can get them, and just search Maui Comics and Collectibles. You want to know how to sponsor the con? It's all there. It's going to be great stuff, so you don't want to miss out on it. The Nerd Watch, Maui Comics and Collectibles. So big ups to Alika for putting on what should be a fantastic show.
We are doing big things.
Big things, and we need...
It's something that we've wanted to do for a very long time.
I've wanted to do it forever, yeah.
Getting to do it.
And thank God...
It's an honor to be a part of it.
Absolutely. And thank God Alika is the guy doing it, because me...
That rapscallion.
Yeah, because, yeah. For as much as I would want to do it, he would never have done.
He's more of a precocious scamp.
Yeah, he is a precocious
thank goodness
scamp.
Alika is a go-getter.
Yeah, he is a go-getter.
Because...
Yeah.
I don't know. We've had the idea for years.
We don't actually act on anything. I'm a dreamer.
Alika's the
realist.
He's the Glenn Danzig to my Henry Rollins.
Well, this is what happens when you're a lover of X-Men the way he is, especially the Marvel movie, the X-Men Marvel movie franchise. This is what they are. So
hey, this is what happens when you don't do the show.
Yeah. So anyway,
he told me very privately before the show that he really thinks that Mystique makes all those movies. Mm-hmm.
And
he thought that Bryan Singer is like the quintessential X-Men director.
I also believe that what he told me was that the best thing about those X-Men
are
movies
those flight suits.
Is that the fact that they got rid of the costumes and they put them in the flight suits.
So, you guys hear crazy. Tables flipping?
I hear something. Yeah. Anyway, we're out of time, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back next week, same nerd time, same nerd channel. So until then, peace out. Much love, and most assuredly, always stay nerdy. And for Gannon, for Todd, for Format, for myself, G-Money, for Swan, the comic book henchman, and for Alika, who couldn't bother to have himself on the show this week.
I think he's in there double-clicking his mouse.
Oh, is that what he's doing right now?
Yeah.
Until next week, we will say to you guys, aloha!
Yeah, Henry Rollins would definitely be on top.